taking a closer look at the nightstand. Something? A notepad with a local number written on it. Mobile phone? Nope. We'll have to check if he made any calls through the front. He gestured toward the desk. What about the computer? We'll look at it, but only after we're sure he's really missing. Want me to phone the number into Ruby and find out who it is? I've got a suspicion, but go ahead. He got out his cell and followed me as I vacated the room, careful to close the door behind us. Walking down the steps, I stopped at the front desk and spoke with the perky young woman there who was inordinately excited to be in on the crime of the century. He only paid for the one night? She nodded enthusiastically.
Yeah, but that's not unusual. Sometimes people aren't sure what they're doing and then pay for another night. Housekeeping knocked on the door, but there was no answer, so they opened up and saw all the personal items and immediately closed it.
I propped an elbow onto the counter.
I didn't, but Bobby checked him in last night. I came in at 8 this morning, but I never saw him at the breakfast buffet or anything.
Is Bobby around?
No, but I can get him on the phone.
She reached for the receiver and dialed.
Normally I don't make much of a fuss, but the car had been there all day, and I was getting worried, so I kept calling up to the room, and when nobody answered,
her attention returned to the phone.
Bobby, the sheriff is here and he wants to talk to you.
She handed me the phone. Hey, Bobby, Walt Longmire. You checked Mr. Lott in last night?
The voice was young and sounded tired.
Uh-huh. And what time was that?
He thought about it.
Late? Like after midnight? Did you ever hear or see anything of him after that?
No, not a peep.
Okay. Well, if you think of something, could you give me a call?
I handed the phone back to the young woman.
Thanks.
What are you going to do?
Nothing for now.
Nothing?
Well, he took a shower last night and slept in the bed, and all his stuff is still in the room with no sign of foul play or anything else for that matter. His vehicle is still parked outside, so I'm guessing that he'll show up. Maybe he went for a run and turned his ankle or something. We'll check the hospital and the out clinics, and then we'll just keep an eye open. She seemed disappointed.
That's it?
I don't want to put out a full-blown manhunt and call in the bloodhounds and then find out he's eating a sandwich over at the co-op.
We have bloodhounds?
One. Well, he's a hound, although I don't think he's into the blood thing.
I turned to look at Sancho and started out the door. Come on, let's go look at the vehicle. Rounding the building, I spotted the four-door Wrangler parked alongside, which was easy because it was the only vehicle there.
What? They were worried about parking space?
Sancho smiled. She's a criminal justice student at Sheridan College.
Oh.
She says the instructors over there use some of your incidents as case studies.
I pulled up to the Black Jeep. Oh, boy.
The doors were locked, and there was the usual detritus of highway travel. An energy drink in the cup holder, an open bag of cashews, and a map of Durant in the Bighorn Mountain area with a highlighted section that was the Echapare Ranch.
I'm assuming that the phone number was the Echapare place.
Your assumption would be correct. I pointed through the glass.
Well, his cell phone is on the center console, so if he made a call, he did it from here or returned his phone to the car, although the night manager said he never saw him.
Cesar Pretoria nodded toward a door at the middle of the building.
He could have come that way, then the kid would have never seen him.
I gestured toward the dark globes at the corner eaves of the building. They've got security cameras.
You want to ask Pepper Anderson in there if we can run through the tapes from last night?
Sure.
You want to loan me your cell phone and dial the Echapare place for me?
Sure.
He did, and then handed me the phone.
It's ringing.
As he walked away, I held the thing to my ear and glanced around at the surrounding area, including the sidewalk that led under the interstate overpass and back toward the center of town. The phone rang 5 times, and then an answering machine with a pre-recorded message asked me to leave a message, so I did.
Avarani, this is Walt Longmire, and I'd like to speak with you about your son-in-law, Donnie Lott. If you could call me back at the office, I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Hitting the red button, I stood there looking up at the passing vehicles on the highway, and then back at the only vehicle in the parking lot, noticing the wallet on the dash where he'd had it last night.
Where did you go, Donnie, my wandering boy?
He hasn't heard anything from him?
Ruby pulled the phone from her ear and looked up at me.
That's what he said. duly noted in the post-it I just handed you.
Didn't even know he was coming to get his son?
As near as I can tell, no.
I guess I need to call Colorado.
I guess you do.
She went back to talking on her phone.
No, that would be the predator board you need to talk to.
Entering my office, I sat and hit the space bar on my computer and drew warmth from the two smiling faces on the screen. How are you guys? Me, I'm doing pretty well. Have I told you about the dead sheep herder? Nope. Well, he hung himself, but then they found mule hairs on his pants.
Am I interrupting something?
I looked up to find Vic staring at me. She sat and glanced at the computer with which I'd just been in conversation.
So have you finally gone off the proverbial deep end?
I'm in the shallows.
Hell, that's where I live.
The son-in-law is missing? As of the moment. I guess I'm calling Colorado, but I got distracted by my computer, and we were having a conversation.
You know they don't talk back, right?
I hadn't noticed. Pulling out my Rolodex, I flipped through to Etchepare and noted the other number I'd scribbled in the margin. I called it and was rewarded with the voice of Jeannie Lott.
Hello?
Ms. Lott, this is Walt Longmire, the sheriff up here in Absaroka County.
Oh, thank God.
I'm assuming you're aware of the situation?
Do you have my husband there with you?
Not at this time, but I do have his belongings and a vehicle at a motel here in Durant. There was a pause as she readjusted the phone and sighed.
What are you talking about?
Were you aware he was coming up here last night?
Well, he was upset about Liam and said he was going for a hike and left in the Jeep, but when he didn't come back, I had a suspicion he might be heading that way. I've been calling his cell, but there's no answer.
So you haven't heard from him since he left?
No.
And what do you mean by belongings and abandoned vehicle? He appears to be missing. There was a very long pause, and his phone is in the center console of his car along with his wallet on the dash.
He never goes anywhere without his phone.
I waited a moment before adding, it may be that he's just out taking a hike, but with your permission, I'd like to open his vehicle and get his wallet and phone to see if they might help in locating him.
Yes, of course.
Needless to say, if you hear from him, would you give us a call?
Certainly. And Sheriff?
Yep. Her voice was low.
Do you know if he's had any interaction with my father or Liam?
Not yet, but you will be the first one I will contact. I hung up and looked at my undersheriff. If Abe doesn't call back soon, I'm going out there.
Oh, joy.
But wait, there's more. Two pains in the ass for one. What? Ferris Kaplan has arranged a town meeting concerning the wolf problem at the firehouse this evening, with a large carnivore response team. Her expression changed to one of disbelief.
Who knew the duck detectives had a large carnivore response team?
That's short notice.
I think that's the idea, so that they can say they had a public meeting about shooting the wolf without the inherent difficulties of dealing with the public. You know how troublesome they can be.
A wolf?
No, the public.
So a stealth meeting.
You got it.
And we have to attend?
Ferris said he would appreciate us being there. You know, strength in numbers.
Right. She studied me.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I stood and came around the desk. You want to call up Ted's Towing and tell them we'll meet them over at the Best Western to haul the vehicle here and then Jimmy the Jeep so we can check lot stuff?
Sure.
Then we can go to the clandestine wolf meeting? I raised a fist. The pack. Ted already had the Jeep open by the time we got there. I signed the receipt for the towing service, handed the clipboard back to the driver, and turned toward the Wrangler in which Vic sat in its driver's seat. She was going through Lott's wallet.
He's got $7 in here.
Yep, he was running out of money when I met him last night.
She reached for his phone, pulling it from the console and holding it up to her face. 8 calls from the wife in Colorado and 1 local call late last night.
Etchepare?
Yeah.
She stared at the screen.
Nothing after that.
Her eyes came up.
Okay, worst case scenario. He calls old Abe, who, what, comes out here and gets him? Why?
I don't know.
And then does what with him? Shoot, shovel, and shut the fuck up?
Leaving his possessions and vehicle at the Best Western doesn't make for very nuanced criminal activity, does it?
No.
Placing the phone in a plastic bag and sealing it, she glanced down in the space between the seat and the console, where entire universes are devoured. Sliding a hand between, she pulled a business card from the floorboard.
Mickey Southern, Pervert Hunter?
Sizer Batoria mentioned this guy, said he'd been in touch and was coming up from Denver to speak with us about a situation here in county.
You think Lott's been in contact with him?
I stared at the card on my desk. I'd say it's a good bet.
So, she pointed at the card. This guy hunts perverts?
I guess. Sancho said he had a show on the internet or something outing pedophiles. There's no contact information, no email, no phone, nothing. Turning the business card toward her, she studied it, and then straightened from it as if it were giving off a bad smell.
Walt, there's only one reason Donnie Lott would be in touch with this guy.
I know.
You think he confronted Abe and things went sideways?
I don't know.
This is getting creepy.
She took the card and came around my desk, moving me aside with a hip.
Well, let's check out the pervert station, shall we?
How do we do that? She typed, her fingertips driving the keys almost as hard as I did.
Easy, we just put in Mickey Southern, Pervert Hunter. I'm afraid of what will come up if we just put in Pervert Hunter.
A string of photos appeared on the left of a hooded individual, with street scenes in the background and graphics emblazoned across the top that read, Mickey Southern, Pervert Hunter.
Holy crap! This dude is a cottage industry. He's got over 50 episodes of this stuff.
She clicked the thingamajig, and the screen filled with the hooded guy, with a mechanically altered voice, talking about texting with an individual in Denver who thought he was communicating with a 14-year-old girl. The quality was rough, and you never saw Mickey Southern's face, which led me to believe that he was the one running the camera. Each episode was about 10 minutes in length and showcased the pervert hunter confronting pedophiles or suspected pedophiles on the street, in cars, and in a house I assumed he used as bait into which he could lure the targets. Each episode ended with Southern facing the camera and giving the lowdown on his activities and reporting to authorities the individuals he was outing in the same mechanically altered voice. Vic stopped the onslaught of episodes and turned to look at me.
Wow.
Yep. Seems dangerous for a private citizen to be doing this kind of thing, not to mention illegal.
I can't believe somebody hasn't shot the guy.
Maybe nobody really knows who he is. She stood, folding her arms, and then, reaching down, typed in more information.
Obviously, people get in touch with him about situations with predators that they know. Hitting a final keystroke, she gestured with a hand. His website with a contact email. I guess that's the only way to get in touch with him.
Understandable. I can see how a man like this might have enemies.
So, what do you want to do?
I want to know if Donnie Lott has been in contact with him and concerning what?
In an official capacity?
Ours, yep. We've got a missing person, and I want to know what this pervert hunter knows. She began typing and after a moment sent off a message.
There. But I don't know when we'll hear something, if ever. I don't know what this guy's relationship is with law enforcement, but I didn't see any cops in those videos.
But he said he contacted authorities to report these predators, right?
Right.
So to whom did he report them?
I can track the provider that's used by the website domain, that I imagine is in Denver, and then give the local police a call to see if they've ever had any contact with this guy.
Tell them we have reason to believe this Mickey Southern, if that's his name, has communicated with a missing person, and we're tracking all the leads. Also, Sancho said that this Southern guy had been in touch with him, I'm assuming through email, so you might want to see if it's the same email as the website.
She stood there smiling at me. You're getting so tech-savvy.
Thanks.
There's only one problem.
What's that?
It's 7 o'clock at night, and Sancho has gone home.
Oh.
And we're going to be late for the wolf meeting.
I slumped in my chair. I forgot about that. She glanced at the Seth Thomas on my wall.
We're already 2 minutes late.
Gathering myself, I stood and then walked into the main office where Dog was lying at the top of the steps, taking advantage of the cool metal treads that had resided there since 1909.
I think we should take a wolf to the wolf meeting, don't you?
She regarded the beast. He's not really White Fang. More Buck from Call of the Wild.
I shook my head as I followed her down the steps, turned off the lights, and saluted Andrew Carnegie before locking the door behind me.
You have the rock? It's Sancho's tonight.
We piled into my truck and drove to the town bypass, approaching the modern firehouse complex at the edge of town.
You know the difference between firefighters and Boy Scouts?
What?
Boy Scouts have adult supervision.
She leaned forward to look at the mammoth amount of parked cars.
Oh, shit. There goes the clandestine part of the public meeting.
Wheeling through the crowded lot alongside one of the quasi-bypasses in our tiny town, I spied an opening alongside the dumpster which was close to the building.
I think maybe we should leave Dog in here, just in case anybody gets the idea of shooting him.
Agreed.
Inside, I was confronted by a crowd in the anteroom, and what looked to be standing room only in the event area visible through the open doorway. There was a small platform set up at the south end, and I could see Ferris Kaplan standing on it attempting to get people to stop shouting and yelling. Moving through the logjam at the doorway, I gently shouldered through toward the stage. Ferris looked relieved to see me and gestured for me to step up with the other men from Game and Fish. I gave Vic a hand. She joined us, muttering,
"What a clusterfuckectomy."
Ferris raised his hands and tried to hush the crowd, but he failed. I was about to raise my own voice when there was an ear-piercing whistle that literally shook the windows of the meeting room. I turned and could see Vic with the pinkies of both hands at the corners of her mouth.
"Thanks."
"No problem."
Turning back to the hundreds of people who packed the room, I raised my hands. "Folks, if you don't let Ferris speak, then we're not going to know what's really going on. So if you would, please leave your comments and questions until he gets done, okay?"
The grumbling died down quickly, and I turned to look at the poor, besieged man from Game and Fish, who reclaimed his voice. "Ladies and gentlemen, I know you're all pretty concerned about this wolf that's been spotted in the Bighorns, and I just want to assure you that from our knowledge, this is a singular wolf that split off from one of the Yellowstone packs."
He took a breath.
"We've got some folks here from Wildlife Services that can answer your questions about the wolf better than I can. There's more than one up there."
I turned and stared at Les Harris in the bright orange hunting cap that he always wore, in hopes that he'd pipe down. And he did, which was good because I could feel a pain growing in my side and creeping up into my head. Vic noticed the look on my face, and her eyes narrowed.
"You okay?"
"Yep." Ferris continued.
"This is Jim Tolles from Predator Control, and he's got some facts for you."
A trim-looking individual wearing the traditional red shirt and green ball cap, Jim Tolles raised a hand and the crowd grew quieter.
"There have been a number of questionable reports that there are a large number of wolves in the mountains, but with the information we have, it looks to be a singular wolf that was fitted with a smart collar and is being monitored by the Forest Service."
Jim turned toward me.
"Walt, you've actually seen a wolf and he was alone, right?"
I nodded, even though my head hurt.
"Yep, he's an adult. Male, older."
"Why didn't you shoot him?"
I turned to look at Harris.
"Not my job, Les."
"Not your job to protect the people and property of Absaroka County?"
I stared at him for a moment. "From the number of applicants I've received, there appears to be no end of individuals who want to shoot this wolf."
"But not you."
I continued staring at him. "As you know, Absaroka County and the Bighorn Mountains are predator zones, which means that, like coyotes, anybody can shoot that wolf on sight.
But not you!"
Emboldened, he glanced at some of his buddies.
"Seems to me you've been gone from the county so much, you don't know what your job is anymore."
I said nothing, but the silence in the oversized room was now palpable. Tolles, sensing that we needed to move on quickly, added,
"The wolf may have killed domestic stock and is in the process of being dealt with swiftly, but there are no signs that this is a breeding pair or that there are even any other wolves on the mountain."
"What about the dead sheep herder?"
I turned back to Les.
"I don't think that the warden is finished."
"Thank you, Walt." He shook his head.
"It would appear that there's been a suicide in the mountains, but the two events are unrelated."
Another man in the crowd asked, "Didn't this wolf eat a guy?" No, that appears to have been the result of scavenging and not predation. Analysis shows that the Yellowstone wolves have quite a variety in diet, including ungulates, rodents, vegetation, and shepherds, a voice cried out from the crowd. There was a roiling of laughter as the poor man continued. Wolves most often hunt in packs, and since this is a singular wolf, he's more likely to take advantage of whatever meals might come his way.
Like sheep,
a different voice. There was more laughter as the game warden continued. And domestic livestock, which is why the animal will be swiftly dealt with.
Dealt with in what way?
I glanced around and finally spotted Kasich Chichu. Jim folded his arms and looked at her. The wolf will be killed.
By whom?
Jim glanced at me again, but Ferris stepped forward and spoke.
Well, we've had a number of applicants, but Absaroka County is somewhat unique in that we don't rely on state predator board hunters, but rather private individuals within the county with whom we have contracts.
She moved closer.
Why?
Well, because it falls to the county commissioners and the predator board to...
No, why kill the wolf?
Because those are the rules in a predator zone.
She stepped closer, and you had to admire the chutzpah it took to show up in a meeting like this one.
How do you know this wolf killed the sheep?
She held up a sheet of paper.
I've got a report from the Wolf Conservancy that states the kill was actually by a mountain lion.
The game warden stepped forward, holding out a hand. Can I see that?
No, you may not. It's the only copy I have.
He glanced at Jim and then continued.
Well, I'm not going to respond to an unofficial report that I haven't seen, but I seriously doubt that it's going to counter official scientific results from the state authorities.
She waved the piece of paper some more.
It also states that the wolf in question is an actual Wyoming wolf and not an Arctic transplant.
Ferris shook his head and then approached the edge of the stage. The department's position on those Irrimotas wolves is that there were possibly a few back in the 90s, but that they've pretty much gone extinct, especially with the introduction of the larger Canadian species. As far as I know, there's no data supporting the existence of those animals here in Wyoming. She continued to hold the paper up.
And yet here he is.
Look, Miss Chichu. She shook her head and then pulled the paper down, folding it and stuffing it into her down coat pocket.
Game and Fish tranked and collared this animal, this innocent animal, and now you people are attempting to drive up a witch hunt.
Miss Chichu, all we're attempting to do is discover the facts and appease all parties that are involved.
Appease? What about the wolf? What are you doing about his right to live?
My head was killing me, but I stepped forward.
Jim, in your estimation, how many wolves are in the Bighorn Mountains?
He glanced around at the packed room for effect.
One, two, at the most at any given time. Doesn't exactly constitute a pack, does it?
No, like I said, we've seen no denning activity or mated pairs in the Bighorns. The singular wolves we've seen are young males that have either been kicked out of their packs or simply moved out in search of a life in a place that no longer exists. He glanced at me. But from what Walt has told me, this guy is a pretty big boy and old, which means he probably was challenged by another younger male and driven off from his pack in Yellowstone.
And we've got a sheriff who's too chicken shit to shoot him.
Harris glanced at Vic.
Or maybe he's got other things in his mind.
His words hung there in the air. For so long, I wasn't even sure he'd said them. Suddenly, I was now off the stage and standing in front of him, and there were words coming out of my mouth, words I didn't even recognize. There was emotion in the words, even though I felt completely removed, and it was like I was watching someone else's life unfolding in front of my disinterested eyes.
Wow!
Vic sat in the truck next to me and readjusted the louvers and the heat vents.
Just wow!
We sat there quietly until the silence overtook me, and I had to ask, I'm guessing my response was a little over the top.
Wow!
All right.
Wow!
She turned and smiled a wicked little smile.
I have been waiting for that for years.
Pretty bad, huh? She stared at me, more than a little nonplussed.
You don't remember any of it?
No. Honestly, it was like a fit.
It was a fit, all right.
She blew air from her mouth like a modified steam whistle and shook her head.
I thought you were going to kill him. I glanced down at my lap and felt the heat from my face and the stillness in my hands finally fading.
Did I touch him?
No, but your chin was about an eighth of an inch from the bill of his cap.
Les is almost as tall as me.
He wasn't by the time you were finished.
She leaned back in her seat.
Granted, he could have stepped up onto that pile of shit he let go down one of his pant legs by the time you were done with him.
Did anybody else hear it?
Oh, yes, she nodded. Everybody in the place heard it. By the time you were done, I'm pretty sure everybody in Wyoming heard it.
Did I threaten him?
She started to speak and then turned to give me a priceless look of incredulity.
Oh, yes, you most indeed threatened him.
Raising a hand to my face, I rubbed some feeling into it and felt a twinge from the scar that bisected my eye.
So, I guess I need to find him and apologize?
I think we're well beyond the realm of apology.
Great.
I didn't even know you knew some of those words.
She studied me.
You really don't remember any of it? Not a word?
No.
She kept her eyes on me for a while more and then quickly changed the subject. Well, it doesn't look good for Larry.
Who?
Larry the Wolf. She reached back and ruffled the hair behind Dog's ear in species-specific sympathy. 777M. Whatever. She turned back. Who are the contracted county killers?
Heck if I know. Of all the scat that is hitting the fan, that particular load of feces is not my problem.
Wheeling out of the fireman's complex, I took a left and started south toward the Echipari place.
You want me to drop you off at home, or do you want to go see a sheep ranch?
She pointed south. I feel I should know where our victims are coming from.
It's not as exciting as you might think.
Neither is soccer. She studied the road ahead. You really think old Honest Abe has done something drastic to his son-in-law?
I thought about it.
It's just